Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the latest Royal Roundup from Talk TV. So pop the kettle on, this is the Royal Tea. I'm Afia Hagen. Coming up today, Prince William vows to go a step further than his family and bring real change. Did the King remove Harry and Meghan's security to keep the couple under control? Plus, we look ahead to Omid Scobie's new book, Endgame, as he promises a penetrating investigation into the current state of the British monarchy. Now, joining me to discuss all of that and much, much more are Newsweek's chief royal correspondent, Jack Royston, and the Evening Standard's royal editor, Robert Jobson. Hello, nice to see you.
Hi.
Now, Prince William said the climate crisis has become too visible to be ignored as he revealed the five Earthshot Prize winners in Singapore this week. A successful Earthshot, do you reckon, Jack? Tell us.
I think he'll be pretty happy with a lot of it. There were some great winners. You know, there was one which was about electric car batteries, making them more environmentally friendly. I love that. I drive a hybrid, so that's great for me. Very much on the team there. I think he might have got slightly less coverage than he was hoping for back in Britain due to the state opening of Parliament, which I'm sure we can talk about a bit later. But I think he would have wanted to get some really good, solid front pages, ideally. So he might have hoped for a little bit more. But he then gave this very important interview to the journalists who were out there afterwards, and I think that was a big part of where the action actually wound up being. But one more point on Earthshot. I thought he was there with Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso, who I thought looked incredible. She wore this kind of strapless green gown. It was fantastic.
I mean, Hannah just looks great in everything. But do you think, Robert Jobson, that we saw Prince William in his element without Catherine? She was at home looking after the kids, but he really did seem to be in his element and gave that very revealing interview, like Jack said.
I thought it was a bit of a brush, by the way, to be honest. But I thought I was with him in New York, where he was there for drumming up the cash, which is what it was all about. And he was putting himself out there, you know, going halfway up to his waist in the Hudson and, and doing all the things, mingling with the high rollers, the big billionaires. And that was where the money comes from Earthshot. Yeah, look, I think Earthshot's fantastic. I think, you know, he's adopted a brilliant the role of JFK with that speech, saying he's going to take 10 years to put a man on the moon. Well, hopefully, with a bit of luck, William would have made a great difference in that 10 years with Earthshot. And I think he deserves great plaudits. I think the papers are going to be carried away, you know, because I mean, he's not the first person to... Well, I mean, he's sort of the speech is a little bit similar to JFK's, but he's not the first person to do this. Prince Charles, the King, was the first real royal to be so far ahead of his time. And in fact, even before him, Prince Philip. So, yeah, it's great what he's doing and it's great that he's getting big business involved. I'm still a little, you know, I think it's fantastic, Earthshot, but some of these businesses, because I've been right close to them, you know, they're not startup businesses. These are some of the most businesses that have been going for a few years with 30 or 40 employees. So £1 million is an injection. I hope that when we get the reflection at the end, that we don't say all of these things were created by William, which is a way that could be reported, because he's enhanced what was already going on. Well, that's great, but we should just keep it in perspective. And also, particularly when he had delivery of an Aston Martin. You know, he's not the same as you driving a hybrid.
I think one thing that's interesting about it is the fact that it's got, like, part of this, I think, is actually a PR campaign on green issues. So especially the electric car stuff. You know, I was having a conversation with my mechanic the other day who says, oh, you know, electric cars, what a waste of time. But through these kind of projects, William can actually, like, effectively advertise the fact that even the green technology can get even greener. So I think that's a big part of it. Well, and I think
that London is a problem, though, because, you know, unless you've got a driveway, you can't have your own thing. You've got all the... And so it's a problem.
I dangle my cable off the branch.
Yeah, but you are a proper devotee.
But isn't this about... You know, we talked in the interview that he gave with journalists that he wants to
Rush by.
I'm going to call it an interview that he did with journalists, that he talked about affecting real change and being able to make a difference more so than his family has. And isn't Earthshot a part of that?
More than his family.
He did say more than his family, which I think will ruffle feathers with Charles, actually.
Well, I don't think that's fair.
He said he went further than that.
Well, I just think it's just, I mean, number one, the King has been doing this since 1969. So to get to the achievement that he's... To do what he has done, to actually affect real change, to get people round the table of what the King has done, is far more than what I would see as pretty much a marketing campaign to, you know, make sure William's out there doing something that he's allowed to do within the constitutional bounds of the monarchy. Now, the reality is it's wrong to... I mean, I think that, yeah, will it ruffle Charles's feathers? I think he's got enough on his plate, but, I mean, it's not really right to say... He's doing more than anybody, because it's just not true.
Well, he did more than just say he was going to go further. He
what said was the quote?
It's great. He said it's great that people go and kind of shine a spotlight on projects and turn up and, you know, appear for charity. But he wants to go one step further and affect
real change.
He's talking not just about Earthshot. He was actually talking about homelessness as well. And he was saying he wants to build the homes.
Yeah, but I mean, there will still be homeless people in the streets of London.
There will be homeless people in the streets of London. But what's really interesting about it is that William and Kate are starting to get more and more political. They're starting to move into areas that we associate with what the government do. So Kate's got her kind of Shaping Us campaign. And now William's talking about building houses.
They're not bipartisan. They're not partisan.
They're not partisan.
But that's enough. That's enough.
But then you've got Suella Braverman saying that giving out tents to homeless people...
Yeah, it's a lifestyle choice.
...is a lifestyle choice.
And they are in direct conflict with the government. So, like you said, they are...
If they're in direct... I mean, you look back in history when the Prince of Wales was starting out as Prince of Wales, he was talking about inner city issues, which is in direct conflict with Maggie Thatcher.
When he was Prince of Wales starting out,
he talked about inner cities, and there was a massive clashes going on. But the Prince of Wales's job, the Earl of Thrones, is a different job to that of King, as with a constitutional monarch. And that's, I hear what you say, but I don't think anybody, whether you're Labour, Liberal, or Tory, would say, oh, it's good to have homelessness, or it was good to have... We don't want to save the planet. So they're not really partisan issues.
Well, they're staying busy, and that much is true. Well, The Sun's royal editor, Matt Wilkinson, was out in Singapore. Let's hear what he told Talk TV about the Prince of Wales's trip.
So William held his third Earthshot Awards here in Singapore. It's the first time that he's held them outside of the United States and Great Britain. He wanted to make this awards global. It's a scheme that's paying £1 million to five winners in five different categories every year for 10 years. And these groups, they come from all around the world. So he's brought Earthshot Prize to Singapore. He's tapped into some of the local innovation here, some of the skills, some of the technology. And he's brought together the 15 finalists for a big workshop week where they got to meet together, meet financiers, trade tips and secrets. And his whole aim for this was to not just concentrate on the British side of things and the American side of things, but really spread it around the globe, get more people interested into this project that his aides have described as his Super Bowl moment. Every year he's going to have this big prize giving. And I was there at the theatre last night. It was very thrilling. It was very exciting. We had David Attenborough made a video appearance. We had music from Bastille and One Republic, and William made a very heartfelt speech. The important thing about Earthshot Prize this year, it did lack a little bit of the glamour. We had no Princess of Wales, we had no David Beckham, we had no Joe Biden, for instance, that we have had in recent years. But it was about the projects, it was about the optimism, and all the focus was on these innovative projects from around the world and how they were actually setting out to put their projects into work so that they can combat climate change. So it's very much a focus more on these good causes that are now getting the £1 million rather than be distracted with many celebrities.
Thanks to Matt in Singapore, and you can hear the rest of that interview on the Talk TV YouTube page. Meanwhile, Harry and Meghan caused a stir after taking a private jet to Las Vegas for a Katy Perry concert. Now, is the criticism fair given their stance on the environment, Jack? You know, Harry is part of a green tourism company. They've talked a lot about green issues. They took a private jet to see Katy Perry, took a private jet a couple of weeks ago as well to go on holiday. Is it fair that they are getting criticism for this?
It's fine for people to criticise them for it. I think part of what they got out of this particular private jet ride was as much the fact that they actually shared it with some A-list celebrities like Cameron Diaz, which I think they will have loved this journey as much for that positioning as for the fact that they got to travel in, you know, in the lap of luxury. But it is always fair to draw attention to the way that people choose to live their lives at the same time as telling, you know, telling the rest of the world how we should do things. Mm-hmm. It actually... The bit where Harry tells us to be more green is the good bit, and the bit where he flies by private jet is the bad bit. So yeah. I'm absolutely not in favour of people saying that he should stop talking about the environment. It's important to talk about the environment. He probably should have flown commercial, but if he had flown commercial, him and Meghan wouldn't have been photographed, you know, saying hello on the runway with Cameron Diaz and all of those kinds of things, which was good for their brand.
That's true. Robert, what do you think? Is the criticism fair?
Well, it's rank hypocrisy, that's what it is. I mean, but look, I agree with Jack, actually, that whilst he's talking about environment, that's great, helping to save the planet. But don't lecture people on the planet if you're going to jump in a private jet every 5 minutes, because it doesn't wash. People look at it and think, well, you know, do what I say, not what I do. Mm. And so it's hypocrisy.
Well, back here in the UK, King Charles delivered his first King's speech since becoming monarch at the opening of Parliament. He travelled through the streets of London, not in a private jet, but in the Diamond Jubilee stagecoach, in a ceremony going back centuries. Jack, what did you make of this speech? Now, this is his first speech as the monarch. He did give one last year in place of his mother, Queen Elizabeth II, who wasn't
and
well.
Last year, you could really see the emotion on his face, I think. He looked very moved. I think he knew the significance of what he was doing, because this is a constitutional function when it's state opening a parliament. You know, all the charity visits and those kinds of jobs are fantastic, but they're not part of the constitutional function of the monarch. So for Charles to have replaced Elizabeth had huge gravity a year ago, and I think Charles would have relived this year all the emotions he felt back then. Mm-hmm. He also, though, had to announce the government's legislative agenda. Now, he didn't write the speech, the government wrote it. And that meant he had to announce things that we know he's not in favour of.
Absolutely.
Like the rolling back of net zero and drilling for more oil around Britain in the North Sea. And there was just a flicker of a moment of hesitation and a pause, and I think he swallowed halfway through that announcement, swallowing his feelings.
Wanted to swallow
perhaps
the policies as well.
Yeah, but for the most part, he kind of kept his emotions and his views to himself. Mm. And I think he will see it as having been a big success.
Now, Robert, what do we make of the fact that this was a huge diary clash with Prince William being in Singapore for the Ashot Prize? We know the state opening of Parliament, or this particular speech, isn't actually usually this time of year, because we've had a revolving door of prime ministers. It was pushed to November. But Prince William...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Not being there, the heir not being there when he was there last year to support his father, it's a big deal.
Well, you don't really need him there. I mean, you got the Queen to support him. But, you know, I think they've got to get the grid right. This is what I'm thinking. I'm seeing it more and more. There were clashes while they were up in Scotland, William and Kate, while the King was in Kenya, and they knew about that. So get the grid right. Otherwise, you're going to get clashes. And the amount of coverage that they're after, you know, is not going to happen because it's going to be focused on Kate. I mean, I know that Kate's at home helping little George get through his maths exam that he probably doesn't have to pass anyway. But the reality is, if he wants to go to Eton, he'd probably go. But the reality, and that is fair because Harry got in. But the reality is, well, it's true. He got in with a B and a D. Are you telling me that that wasn't because of who he was? Come on. I think that it was important for William that the Earthshot Prize didn't have Kate there, because it would have all been about was she wearing a green dress and all about her. Now, she's done it twice, and the world and his wife were there. This time, it was about him. And I've noticed that in New York. He was really putting on a show that was about his agenda, his solo agenda, and he wanted to really focus on the issues. He had bilaterals as well. Mm-hmm. But when he was with the Money Men, you know, he dropped the line about, I went for a jog in Central Park, which was quite a good line. It should have been filmed and it would have been all over our channels. But it was great stuff. But it was about him. And at no stage did it mention Kate. Now, I'm not saying he's trying to, there's a competition there, but it's us that create that, the media. Yeah. And we would have created it wouldn't have been William on the front page. If Kate had been there, it would have been Kate. Mm.
It wasn't William on the front pages. He got gazumped off the front pages by Charles, which I think the King would be happy
with. Then that would have been a problem, wouldn't it? Because if it's William and Charles, you pick the King in his crown, because it's the first time we saw him since the coronation wearing the crown.
Yeah.
Different crown, but it was a crown. But if Kate had been there in Singapore, some of the tabloids, without a doubt, would have just said, do we want him with a crown? Or do we want her in a green dress?
Mm. I would have loved to see Kate out there. I think it would have got more coverage if she'd been there. And I think I think it's a benefit to William that she gets...
Not necessarily to monarchy, because then we're talking about...
But it's a benefit to the project, and the project lifts William.
Yeah, but that's because you drive one of those cars.
I love that you do that like I'm driving a toy car. It's an SUV.
It's not a toy car, it's a real car. Well, it's...
it's an SUV, it's an Outlander, it's a Mitsubishi Outlander.
Have you ever run out of juice?
It's got a petrol engine as well, it does both.
Ah, see, it's a marketing tool.
What? No, it's not.
We'll talk
off air.
Yeah. Well, it's been reported that King Charles removed Harry and Meghan's personal security in the UK in an attempt to keep them under control. Now, could it be true that the royal family were concerned about the coverage Harry and Meghan would get, even though they were non-working royals? Robert, do you think that's a concern?
Well, he doesn't pick who has the royal protection. It's a decision taken by the Commissioner of Police of Scotland Yard. So whoever reported that is talking nonsense. Hmm.
So it's RAVEC, which is a committee of the Home Office, and it does have household members sitting on it, and Harry has been on this kind of legal quest to try to find out exactly how much of a role they might have played. But this is clearly someone's take on it, and we don't know whose it is.
Ultimately,
the tick comes from the Commissioner of Police. Hmm.
But this was a huge story that Byline Times did. You know, it was a really in-depth piece. Mm.
Let me tell you one thing, though, which is that we know perfectly well when the relationship between Harry, Meghan and the family broke down. And it was in 2018, 2 years earlier. And the removal of the police protection detail and the ending of the kind of half-in, half-out system that Harry and Meghan wanted was an absolute inevitability. It was destined to happen.
They knew that,
and
too.
If it hadn't happened, there's stuff that they were doing that just didn't fit with it. Like, they wanted, for example, to comment on the US election, which actually, you know, a lot of people criticise them for. I was happy for them to do it. I just don't think you can do it if you're half in, half out. Mm. You know, you've got to cut the umbilical cord and be fully out if you're
Jack's absolutely right. Yeah, it's typical Harry and Meghan. It's, you know, when you cake and eat it. Ultimately, the protection is the most expensive part. I mean, I still think he should have protection. I personally do, because he was born a prince. He is a legitimate target as far as these evil people, terrorists, are concerned. He served on the front line, which, I mean, he made some comments there that were less than wise. And it wasn't his fault he was born a prince. Therefore, in my opinion, I'm not saying it should necessarily be extended to Meghan and the children. But as far as I'm concerned, he wasn't his fault he was born a prince.
Let me tell you one thing,
and he should
though.
Be guarded by Scotland Yard for the duration of his life.
Let me tell you one thing, though, which is that one part of the problem here is the police are not providing the basic service to ordinary people, and he wants
That's
the platinum
true.
Range. Mm. You know, and this is the police have been underfunded for years upon years upon years now, and you've got ordinary people being told to gather evidence when they've been victims of crime.
Ex-ministers who barely know who they are have got protection.
But MPs who have had two of their number murdered don't have round-the-clock coverage by armed
police. No, but they never have. But when he was born a prince, through no fault of his own, and you know, the royal family should be protected, because that's one hell of a story. One hell of a story if they're attacked by the terrorists. We live in a very dangerous world.
Can I ask, Robert, you know, you said there that you think Harry should have the protection for the duration of his life, but you're not sure it should extend to Meghan and children. Can I ask why? Because they, as being part of Harry's family, aren't they a target as well?
Because they chose to be working royal, or Meghan chose to be a working royal very early on, so she's never really experienced it. And I think at that stage, Harry would have to put his hand in his pocket. Remember, he inherited over 20 million quid from his mother. He's had many, many handouts from his father, and they've done some pretty big deals. I think he should get it, but, I mean, I think there should be, to an extent, limited. And I think it's mainly because of his armed services record, and that gives him what a terrorist would term he's a legitimate target. That's why. No other reason. That no, because they shouldn't have it because they live in LA or whatever, or what, you know. But the reality is they wouldn't be necessarily the same level of legitimate target to terrorists because they haven't served in the armed forces. And remember, some of the things that he said when he was in the armed forces were very unwise. And they actually, some of the terrorists came out and said, you know, we're going to target him, and that's why.
You're talking about him saying that to take a life to save a life.
And all this stuff. I think Osborne said it's like a video game.
Oh, video game, yeah.
I think it was incredibly sensitive, you know. So all I'm saying is there that I mean, the death of Diana, I was around at the time. You know, if she'd had Scotland Yard, she'd be alive. That's the reality of it.
Well, it's the King's birthday next week. He's going to be 75 on the 14th of November. And there have been reports that Harry and Meghan have been snubbed for the King's 75th birthday party. Their spokesperson said no invite was actually extended to them in the first place. What does this tell us about the state of the relationship between these two camps?
They're estranged. Harry and Meghan are estranged from Harry's family, and there is no relationship anymore, which I think is very sad, honestly. I would love to see them patch things up. I'd love to see them repair the relationship. Mm. And I'd love to see, you know, I think Harry and William sitting down together is a very long way off. I'd like to see Harry and Charles, you know, sit down and see if they can work out their differences and forge some kind of a stronger, better relationship. But obviously so much has been said and so much has happened. So much went into Harry's book. You know, there's a lot of ill will and a lot of bad blood there to work through.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. Meanwhile, in positive Harry and Meghan news, the couple helped the Navy SEAL Foundation unveil a state-of-the-art Warrior Fitness Program West Coast facility on Wednesday in downtown San Diego. The 20,000-square-foot centre features advanced technology, equipment and personnel to help Navy SEALs and veterans recover and rebuild mentally and physically from injuries and trauma. Robert, this really ties in with Invictus Games, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I spoke to Harry on a plane going across to New Zealand after I broke the story that he was quitting the army, and I said, what are you going to do next? And he said to me very straightforwardly, you know, I really don't know, you'll probably know before me. And I thought, oh, enough of the sarky comments. But he then started talking seriously about, you know, about rehabilitation of servicemen. And he had, remember, the Invictus hadn't actually started then, so it was something that he took the idea from America, and he's developed it and done a damn good job with it. And I think everybody will agree, particularly the veterans who have suffered mentally and physically He's done a terrific job. Now, of course, and I hope it continues, I really do. Now he's in America. I think, having been over to America, where he went and visited, I was with him when he visited a hospital in Washington. And the way they treat their service personnel and their injured service personnel is so superior to what we do in this country. Mm. They really respect them. They really give them the state-of-the-art equipment. You know, there'll be people that have suffered, but they really, really treat them with respect. And I think that this is a terrific thing that he's done out there, and Megan and him. And I think that this centre, from what I could see, was a joy. When you look at people that over here, there's a mate of mine, Ben McBean, who's lost an arm and a leg, and was actually on the plane with Harry when he came back out of Afghanistan. You know, after you've come back, and there's no, they just you know, get the basics patch up. Mm. There's no camaraderie, which they miss terribly. We're dreadful in what we do for our service personnel. You know, we say we do our best, we all wear our poppies, but in America they go the extra mile. I've got two of my cousins U.S. Marine Corps, so I know what they do. You know. And we are far less than that. And what they're doing out there, terrific. And well done him.
Yeah.
Well done, Megan. Well done him.
Well done. Absolutely. Now, Omid Scobie's new book, Endgame, will deal with allegations of race and bigotry within the royal family. The unofficial spokesman for Harry and Meghan, who wrote a biography of the couple called Finding Freedom in 2020, unveiled the cover of his latest book this week, calling it a penetrating investigation into the current state of the British monarchy. Jack, I can't wait.
I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. I will get my copy in advance, and I will have to keep my mouth shut until publication date. But it's getting, you know, Finding Freedom. Some people liked it, some people criticised it, but it had news lines, reportable news lines on every page virtually, in every chapter. Yeah. So I think it's going to make huge waves. We're going to be talking about it for weeks afterwards. So it's going to be really interesting to see what new stuff he's got in there.
Yeah, absolutely. But Robert, some people have argued that because Harry and Meghan said they're not doing any more look back projects, perhaps that should apply to their friends too. Should that apply to Omid Scobie?
Not a friend, is he? I mean, he's a mouthpiece now. He was a mouthpiece. He's not a friend. I mean, he's just squeezing the last bit out of the orange. You know, it's as simple as that. It's going to be an interesting read. I like Omid. I like him personally. I work with him at ABC. Good Morning America. But, you know, to say he's their unofficial spokesman, that's pushing it, to be honest. I think if you read Spare and you read other books, there were contradictions all the way through there. And Omid always says he's not that. I think he's a pretty good journalist. I think he gets on with it and tries to discover the best. And as an author myself of many books, I mean, I will read it with great interest, and I hope it sells bucket loads.
Yes.
Me too. Well, that's all we've got time for this week. My thanks to Jack and Robert. If you want to join in with the debate, please leave a comment and make sure you subscribe if you don't want to miss a single episode. We'll be back next week with all the latest on the royal family. Hope you can join us. See you then.